Thank you, John. So we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your inspired, your infallible word. And we thank you, Lord, that you are among us today by your Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is here and he is speaking to us. And we pray that we would hear his voice in his word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking again at one of these verses of scripture in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 12 is the key verse this morning. Yet as many as received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And it's another one of those beautiful gospel verses. We've had a number of them recently over the past few weeks. We've had Romans 3:23. Some of them have also been at 8:45 if you want to listen in on some of those other talks, because what we've been doing for a few weeks is sharing on some simple, basic gospel Bible scriptures so that we can be equipped in knowing the scriptures and in being able to share our faith with others around us. And I would encourage you, like Psalm 119 says, your word have I hid in my heart, so that I might not sin against you. So we hide God's word in here. It's great to have God's word in the book, but it's even better to have it in your mind and in your heart to memorize scripture. And what I just wanted to share, I've written some of the verses down in the news sheet today, so you can go home, you can print them out, you can do whichever way you find works for you to memorize God's word. But it's a really useful and helpful thing to do. And not only for gospel Bible verses, but other Bible verses as well, to memorize God's word. So we had Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We had Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What else have we had? Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This morning, actually, Brenda preached on the great text of the gospel from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Do you want to say it with me? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. I know that you can memorize it in any version you want. I still remember, so I've got some of them in the King James, some in the NIV, and depends which NIV you've got, doesn't it now? But it doesn't matter which version, as long as we remember his word, because it's the word of God that brings power to change lives. The word of God is so powerful. That's why I encourage you to memorize it. It's really powerful. That's why when I'm sharing my faith with someone else, I like to share with them from God's word, not just from my opinion about kind of Christian things, because my opinion doesn't count for a hill of beans. It really is God's word that is the key. I came to Christ, I received Christ when I was 9 years old, and that's why I love this Bible verse that we're looking at today, John chapter 1 verse 12. Yet as many as received him, even to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I love that. There's that wonderful language of receiving Christ. Have you received Christ into your life? Because that's what John is encouraging us, calling us, inviting us to do. And that's what we want to lead others into as well. If you've received Christ, then you want to enable others to receive Christ as well. So I received Christ when I was 9 years old. The first time I got the opportunity to lead someone else to Christ was when I was 16 years old. I remember it very clearly, a camp that we were at in Inverness, and just outside Inverness in Culloden. And we had this youth camp, and it was the first opportunity I ever had to lead someone else to faith. And when you've had that first opportunity, there's nothing quite like kind of being a midwife spiritually to help somebody else. I don't know if you've ever been, have you ever been in that place where you've literally been leading someone else to meet Jesus? It is a wonderful wonderful thing. And it's a life-changing moment because you just want to keep doing that, don't you? And I would encourage us to desire to lead others to Jesus, not just to sow the seed, but for some of us, God's calling us. And I pray that even this year, maybe in 2018, God will give you that wonderful opportunity to lead someone else to Christ. Why is it so important? It's because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations. And somebody has to lead those people to Jesus, and so may it be us. So one of the things I always remember when I'm leading someone to Christ is the Bible verse like this one. For as many as, yet as many as received him. It's not receiving church. It's not just reading their Bibles or praying or whatever it might be, being a good person or whatever. So many people have so many misconceptions as to what makes a Christian. What makes a Christian is someone who's received Christ. That's the bottom line, isn't it? Have we received Christ into our life? It's not St. Mary's, God forbid. It's not a Bible study or a life group. You can have all those things and yet not be a Christian. But you, to be a Christian, you need Christ. So today we've got a beautiful gospel. This is not something shallow or cheap or fake or anything like that. The gospel is wonderful. The gospel is powerful. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. That's Romans 1:16. So I want to encourage us to be church family who are not ashamed of the gospel, who are out and proud about the gospel, who are boasting about Jesus, who've got a message. This is our life message. It's the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I love, one of the reasons loving Christmas is because it constantly, I know we've all have Christmas obviously coming around every year, and I don't know, you know, for you how you find it, but I always want to find something in Christmas to sort of to really meditate on and think about that's fresh each year. It may not be something I've never thought about before, but just something that captures me again for this glorious gospel. And this year, one of those things, one of them I shared 2 weeks ago here about the manger. You'll have to listen to 2 weeks ago if you didn't get that. But there's a theme about Jesus in the manger being placed in the same manger that the lambs, the sacrificial lambs, would normally be placed in, is where the shepherds found Jesus. And that's why they were amazed that you didn't find babies in mangers, you found lambs. And that's why they were amazed. But the other thing that I've been thinking on this Christmas time that has just been exciting me afresh is just the simple truth, okay, that Christmas really, that it really happened. It really is a historical event. Jesus really was born. It's not just a, you know, something we do every year and do the tree and everything, but Jesus, it happened. He came. He was a baby. He was an actual baby in a real manger. The shepherds were real people. I believe in the angels appearing to the shepherds. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she conceived the Son of God in her womb, and that God became flesh and lived among us. And it really happened. That's something to be excited about. Jesus is 100% God, 100% human. Isn't that amazing? God, as Wesley said, my God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Isn't that wonderful? That God would become human. And we have in John's Gospel here a really important text about Jesus. John's Gospel is all, and then you see in chapter 20 of John's Gospel, the purpose is that we might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why he wrote John's Gospel. And it starts out with these famous words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word logos, you can substitute for Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. It goes on to say, he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, the carol says, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And something else marvelous to reflect on over Christmas is the what theologians call the pre-existent Christ. That a lot of people don't always think about it, but that Jesus didn't, like we all started at conception and were born, but Jesus existed from all eternity past as the enthroned Son of God, living in the bliss and the perfection of heaven's glory. He had all the angels attending him. He lived from eternity past, forever and forever. And this is the mystery of the Godhead. God has no beginning and no end. He is eternal, like a circle. God has no beginning, no end. So Jesus never had a beginning. He existed from eternity and will exist into eternity as the Son of God. And yet he came down from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And that's what this Bible verse is telling us. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is God. Mary gave birth to God. There's nothing lacking in the divinity of Jesus. He is fully God, and there's also nothing lacking in his humanity. He is as much human as you or I. He was tempted in every way just as we are. He is flesh and blood. He got tired, he sweated, he had all the normal range of human emotions that we would face. He is fully human and yet fully God, without sin, perfect, spotless, blameless, the Son of God. There's no one like Jesus. He is incomparable in all of human history, our Lord Jesus Christ. He came down to earth from heaven. He existed before. Can you imagine that moment? Sometimes I think about that moment when Jesus, as a member of the Trinity, the Godhead, suddenly was conceived in the womb of Mary. Isn't it amazing? Remarkable. I mean, it says here in John chapter 1, through him all things were made. He put the stars in the sky. He made the world and everything in it. He sits above the circle of the earth. Almighty God, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his full almighty Godhead, should become a fetus. Remarkable. To grow inside Mary for 9 months and then to be born in poverty, in obscurity, in humility. Isn't that remarkable? I knew a man in Canada, and I did lots of missions in Canada in my university years around the Toronto area. And I used to go out doing evangelism, and the guy who was leading that evangelism team, he became a Christian, not even through the message of the cross, but through the message of the incarnation. That God would become human for him because of love. What does it say? Let's just turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm afraid I don't have a Bible reference. I just want to encourage you to know your New Testament. Philippians chapter 2, it says there, verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What was the mindset of Jesus at that moment where he came down from heaven to earth? This was his mindset. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That was the attitude, that was what was in the mind of God when Jesus came down from heaven to earth. It was humility. It was love. It was making himself nothing so he could give us everything. That is the way that we are loved by Almighty God. And even if the cross is not enough, the incarnation itself is a picture of tremendous sacrifice, that he would do that for us. So we see in our text, in our verses, it says, just look at verse 10. It says, he was in the world. This is incredible. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. What a statement. He made the world. I mean, if anyone has the right to say, you know, actually, I know. It was Jesus. Imagine how patient he must have been with everybody around him, putting up with everyone. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, it did not recognize him. What a sadness. What a grief. What a moment. I mean, no wonder Isaiah says that he was acquainted with grief. Imagine having been God and not being received by your people, by your creation. What a remarkable chain of events. That's the deception of sin, that they could not see the Son of God among them. They couldn't see their Creator living among them. There was no desire to meet the Lord Jesus Christ with any kind of welcome or love or anything like that amongst the people of the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. It says he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. What sadness. What? Think about it. His own did not receive him. They rejected him. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. It's near the middle of the Bible. If you're looking for it, kind of find the middle. And Isaiah says, he has believed our message, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. He grew up before him. He's talking about Jesus. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, a root out of dry ground. Jesus, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Now let me just go on, because it's so beautiful. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's beautiful, that poem from Isaiah 700 years before Jesus, describing exactly what would happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was he rejected in his life, but ultimately he was rejected as humanity nailed him to the cross. The ones he had created, he who flung the stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. That is our God. That's Jesus. That is why we must, how could we ever become used to the gospel? How could we ever become overfamiliar to lose the wonder of the incarnation, what at Christmas, the coming, the advent of Jesus among us, God living with us and breathing with us, and yet us pushing him away, rejecting him, considering him as nothing, and even nailing him to the cross. It was our sin that nailed him to the cross. It was us. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a wonderful Savior that we have. And then verse 12, the verse that I want to focus on and the one I'd like us to memorize. So just the context, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing that God would give us the right to become his children, his adopted children, to have our identity changed forever. For if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And your identity is changed by the Spirit of adoption, that God calls you now his child. Did you know here's something that many Christians, there's a sort of popular myth out there that people think that we're all God's children. Have you heard that one? I've heard that one quite a few times. We're all God's children, and so isn't it lovely? The truth is, we're not all God's children. How do I know that? If you read John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders of his day, and he says to them, your father is the devil. You're not God's children. Your father is the devil, which is pretty stern stuff. Most of the sternest stuff in the Bible came from the lips of Jesus. The gentle, meek, and mild Son of God could be pretty ruthless at times, but only in love, because that's what he is. He is love. But we're not all God's children. You're not born a child of God. You're not a child of God when you're born. You're under the prince of the power of the air. The power of sin, original sin, is in this world, and we are under sin. We're under the fall, under the curse. We are born enemies of God. We are born strangers to God. We are born apart from God, separated from him. And that we have Adam and Eve to thank for that in the beginning. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so unless there's been a work of salvation, unless there's been a work of grace in us, by God's grace, then do you see how it says here, he gave the right to become children of God. We become children of God. We become his adopted children. We're not born that way. That's why it's so important, as we look out into our world and we say, oh God, give us a love for the world in which we live, because they're not the children of God yet. How much we want more and more people. Jesus said to go and make disciples. He called us to go and call for his people to become his children. That's why Jesus came into the world and came from heaven to earth. If we were God's children when we were born, there would have been no need for it. Absolutely no need for Jesus to come if I was his child at my birth. It was because I'm not his child that I need him as a savior. We need a savior. There is a savior from all sin, but we need to receive him in order to become a child of God. And that's what I believe the Bible teaches. So how do we receive him? What is this way of salvation? Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, It's not, as we've said before so many times, it is not something we can earn, something we can do, something, whether it be reading the Bible 10 times over, praying till you're blue in the face, belonging to the church, right, left, and center. All these things don't save us. They don't actually save us. They don't make us a child of God. It is Christ and Christ alone. It is receiving Jesus, as many as received him. Do you know him? Have you received Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know his, who he, not just who he is, but do you know him? Have you received him into your life? Into your, we talk about receiving Christ into your heart. In other words, this is just language that we use to talk about receiving him, believing in his name. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we used this this analogy to help us remember this? So we had A, B, C, D. Does anyone remember those A, B, C, D's? Do you remember what A stood for? Admit. A stands for admit. This is how we find the way of salvation. How do you receive him? Number one is to admit. Admit I'm a sinner. Admit. And that's where those other Bible verses come in, where we say that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In 1 John it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We must come to that place where we say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me. And unless there's that one way to God, it's the way of humility. It's the way of the crying out, God, have mercy on me. I need mercy. I've sinned. Sin is, the ultimate expression of sin is independence from God. It's selfishness. It's putting self before God. And when we are slaves to sin, and the result of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And all have sinned. So we need a savior from all sin. And praise God, that is why Jesus came and paid such a high price, so that we could be reconciled to God. So number one, A, is about admitting. What do you remember what B stands for? Believe. This is really helpful when maybe you're leading someone to Christ as well, and explaining the gospel to somebody. The B is for believe. John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. This is the whole message behind salvation, is love. Love drew God after us. He could have left us to ourselves, but no, he didn't leave us to our sin and treat us as our sins deserve. He loves us with an everlasting love. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes. It's that simple. But believing just doesn't mean, I think Jesus existed 2,000 years ago and I'm happy to be in church today. That's not believing. Believe, the New Testament believing, is where you say, I am willing to put my life wholly to trust in him. Give your life. You give your life to what you believe in. You could translate it trust, or lean on, or give yourself to belief. That's what believing means. You're going to give yourself to God. It's a real active thing. Faith in the Bible isn't just done in your head. It's done by your life. It's done in your actions. And so anyone who's in Christ will become new, and then their life will be changed by God. It's not just a case that we have a sort of intellectual agreement about these things. It's that Jesus, when you say, I believe, you're putting your faith and trust and belief, and you're putting the whole weight of your life in Christ. So I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So it's this sense of like, my kingdom go, your kingdom come. I'm not going to be in charge of my life anymore. Jesus is to be in charge of my life. So when we talk about believing in Christ, we're saying he's in charge of me. I submit myself wholly to him. And that's our prayer that we do. And then C. Does anybody know what C? Confess with your mouth. And in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe, there it is again, in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible's really clear on all these things. How do you become a Christian? You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. There it is again. There's that real sense that we're not just receiving a cheap gospel, but that the gospel changes us. We do this transaction, if you like, and we say, you're in charge. You're my Lord. You're God. I want to give my life to you. And that change happens, that Jesus is Lord. And then believe in your heart, God has raised him from the dead. And there's something here so wonderful when we're talking about this believing, that the resurrection there is mentioned in Romans 10:9, and we're believing in what Jesus did on the cross for us, and what he did in his rising from the dead for us. That everything we need for a bridge to be made between us and God, for a reconciliation to happen, has been done already for us by Jesus as he died in our place, as he took the penalty for our sin in his body on the tree. He bore our sins. He took, as it says in Isaiah 53, our sins and our sorrows. By his wounds, we are healed. We are saved. By his blood on the cross, he paid the price for my sin so that I could be healed and free. And we're putting our trust in that. And so the C is to confess that openly and to be willing to be open about those things. I really encourage anybody who's a Christian to speak, to confess with their mouth and not be ashamed. What did Jesus say once? He said, if anyone is ashamed to confess me before men, I will be ashamed to confess that person before my Father in heaven. That's pretty strong as well, isn't it? So we want to be those who are not ashamed of Jesus, because he is real. He is the Son of God. He loves us. It's good news. And part of receiving Christ is being willing to share Christ. Can you receive Christ and be a secret, private Christian who doesn't do anything to ever tell anyone else? You know, well, the Bible says we've got to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God has raised him from the dead. And then the final one, the D. Anybody know what the D stands for? Decide. Decide. It's like that place of repentance where we decide, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I've decided to repent and believe the good news. And that is this, John, decide to repent, decide to receive Christ. That's this moment where we say, Lord Jesus, I choose, I come. I'm coming now, Lord. Just as I am, I'm coming to Christ. Take me just as I am. I decide to follow you. And we make a decision for Christ so that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. We repent and we follow him. It's not a one-time decision. It's a lifetime decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and become his child. And so it says, as many as received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I wonder today, have you received Christ? Have you given up your way and decided to take Jesus' way? Have you received Christ? And also, has that changed you so that you want to help others receive Christ? Are you content to receive Christ yourself, this wonderful gospel, and yet not share the gospel with others around you? Is that okay for you? To what extent is God sending us out? I think God's sending quite a lot of us this morning with a fresh passion for salvation and the gospel message. It's about being saved, yes, but it's about being sent as well. If we receive Christ, we receive the greatest missionary the world has ever seen, who made the greatest cross-cultural leap from heaven to earth. And he died upon the cross and went back to heaven so that one day he'll be coming again. So we give up our way, we turn around, we go God's way. Mark 1 verse 15 is another good verse to memorize. Mark 1:15, Jesus says, the time has come. Does anyone know what it says next? The time has come. What was the first message Jesus preached? Anyone? The kingdom of God. Repent. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus' first ever message. It was the message of the way of salvation. Repentance and faith. Can we come and believe? So today, friends, today is a day to get right with God. If you are not right with God, if you need to become his child, if you haven't yet given your life to Christ or received Christ into your life, today is a day for you to receive Christ. Receive Christ, and it will change every part of your life from the inside out. It's a day for us to come to know God personally, to become a child of God, which changes everything. To admit, believe, confess, to decide. And it's also a day for us to say, Lord, that if you've already received Christ, to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Do you ever thank God for all that he's done for you? Thank you, Lord, that you came into this world through that wonderful Virgin Mary, and that you went to that cross and died for me, and that you rose again from the dead, and one day you will come again in power and glory. Thank you, God, for so great salvation. Lord, we could never get tired of this gospel message. It is in the gospel that we have freedom. It's in the gospel that we have joy. It's the gospel that saves us and keeps us in the love of God. And friend, today, if you know that, if you know the gospel, if you know Christ, then today the Lord is calling you and saying, whom shall I send? Who will go? Who's going to go and bear this message to those out in the world who are still strangers to grace and to God? Imagine you're sitting here today, you know the grace of God. You are worshiping away this morning. There are people so nearby and your next door neighbors and school gate and so on and so forth who are strangers to such grace and to God, who don't know their danger, who don't feel their load, who don't know the burden of sin that is around the shackles that are on their feet, who don't understand, no one told them that there is a narrow way that leads to life and a broad way that leads to destruction. And no one has maybe told them of a God of love who can cleanse every stain, who can deal with guilt, who can deal with all the past that people struggle with so much, that there is a savior from all sin. And they are waiting for that moment. They're waiting. Do you know that wonderful hymn, you know, where it says, you know, thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke, the dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth and followed thee. You know, that's the experience of receiving Christ, where we get free. And so many have not known that experience, they're still in bondage. May God give us a passion and put fire in our bellies and say, come on, church. We want to be those, if we've received this good news, how much more should we share that good news? I led someone to the Lord for the first time when I was 16, and for God's glory have been doing so ever since then. And I never ever want to be in ministry without leading people to Christ. And may God give us that discontent to say, I don't want to be just a Christ follower. I want to be a disciple maker. I want to be someone who leads others to Christ, so that one day as when you appear before the judgment seat of Christ, you will say, "Here I am, Lord, and the children you've given me." Here I am, Lord. I'm not here by myself. I brought others. They come by your grace. They've come. And that's what we want. Do you want that on the day that you meet the Lord? Amen? Some of us are not sure. Dear Lord. One day, I pray that God will awaken us. So may this Christmas be a tremendous awakening for all of us to become incarnational in our lives. If Jesus could step from heaven to earth, where is he going to step you? What step are you going to take into the mission field that God calls you to share Christ, that people would receive Christ? Now, let me just ask you this before I close. Do you believe or not that people... Hang on, I haven't said what I'm... Do you believe that people could come to Christ through you? Ask yourself that question. Do I believe that people could come to faith in Christ through my witness? Then, if you believe that, if you don't believe that, thank you for being honest. Because I have struggled to believe that about me. I don't always think people will come to Christ through me. My witness is as faulty and frail as the rest of anybody else. But the truth is, it's not me that saves someone, is it? It's Jesus. It's all of him. And so God can take our weak words. He can take our feeble actions of love. It's not only just preaching. It's also demonstrating love to people. As we love one another, the world will see that we're his disciples. As we share the gospel with others, it will happen. The miracle will happen. Maybe ask it another question. God, if you've never led someone to the Lord, say, "Lord, why not? Why have I never led someone to the Lord?" You don't have to be an evangelist. The Bible says, do the work of an evangelist. You can go straight on ahead and pray that God would use you to lead others to receive Christ through your witness, through your prayers, through your witness, through every way that you can share the gospel. That's what we want to do. So let's respond this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the pure, simple gospel. And it's the gospel of the kingdom, that you save, you heal, you deliver. And Jesus, we come to you this morning praying that you will give us a fresh passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, for who you are. Give us a fresh sight of the gospel and just how glorious the gospel is. Forgive us, Lord, wherever we have cheapened, done it down, familiarized ourselves to the extent it doesn't touch us. Lord, would you do a new thing and touch us with the gospel again, because we're not ashamed of Jesus. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that this would be a church family that burns with love for you, for one another, and for a broken world. God, we pray, send the Holy Spirit to reveal the beauty, wonder, and power of Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, take your church and purify us, cure our compromise, heal our half-heartedness. And we pray, Father, that you will do a new thing in the body of Christ, even over this Christmas time, in the name of Jesus. A Holy Spirit work, God, that you would do in our hearts. Lord, we've had so many Christmases without Christ. And we pray, Lord God, that you would put Christ in our hearts. And I want to pray for anyone this morning who has not received Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, now, and may the Spirit of the Lord show you your need for Christ today. That today is the day of salvation, and you need to respond today. And now is the accepted time to receive the Lord Jesus as Savior and as Lord. And I pray, Heavenly Father, send your Spirit now. And if that's you, if you need to receive Jesus Christ today, I wonder, just while people's heads are bowed and so on, just raise your hand up high if that's you. Because that's the way that you can do the confessing with your mouth. Just raise your hand up high. Raise your hand up high. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay.